This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Hello and welcome to Tracks from the Edge, Trek FM show in which we provide audio commentaries for every episode of Star Trek Discovery and its spin-off-y type things. I'm Mike.
And I'm Max.
And today we are providing audio commentary for Star Trek Short Treks Season 2, Episode 3, Ask Not.
You sure about that 3?
No, but I'm fairly certain. Yeah, because the first one was stuck in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was the Tribbles.
Tribble time.
And now this is the third one.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Totally ready.
Okay. We're going to give a countdown and start this episode up. And then after that is done, then we will start the episode.
What?
I got distracted because my computer started verifying something with Dropbox, which I don't even use. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this going to mess everything up? But it didn't.
So it messed nothing up except your entire thought process.
That's all it messed up.
Okay.
These things happen.
So
you ready?
If I got this straight, we're going to do a countdown and then start?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
All right, ready?
As long as we got all the details nailed down. A lot of moving parts to this.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, start. Oh, there's yellow alerts and voices and oh my god. And something is happening. Someone is under attack. Starbase. Yeah. It's a starbase which is under attack. And okay, Here's the thing. Right? Like as soon as let's back it up a bit. So that console just blew out. And She was flung across the room. They do the little thing where you hear like the ringing in your ears to, you know, suggest, you know, like a very loud noise. I mean, Like, I don't know if you saw Children of Men. Actually, I do know that you saw Children of Men. But like, there's that line where Julianne Moore is like, you hear that ringing in your ear? Like, that's the sound of the nerve dying. And that's the last time you'll ever hear that frequency again. And so like, they're implying that they cause permanent hearing damage on her here. In this simulation.
This is the 23rd century. They got modern medicine technologies. They could just grow her new ears.
I guess so. But as soon as you see Pike here, I was like, oh, so this is a simulation.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, I'm not the only one, right?
No. Like, as soon as the door closed, I was like, oh my God, Starfleet, you're such jerks. Like, what? This is. How many times have they pulled this, like, Shyamalanian, like, mind bendy, like, nonsense on their own people? It's like, oh yeah, the stakes can get pretty high. We've got to do these kinds of seemingly cruel experiments on people in order to verify that they'll be all right.
Right.
When stuff hits the fan.
He even says, like, I know. I know this may seem inhumane, but we got to know for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does kind of seem inhumane, and I don't really know if they... I mean, they basically, you know, tell her, like, your husband's going to die. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the people who are going to kill him are the same people who almost killed both of you a few months back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with, you know, like psychology and PTSD and stuff like that. But I'm thinking, like, this is probably something that you don't want to do. I mean, I understand it's military, or maybe it's not. I don't know. Hashtag Gene Roddenberry's vision of the future. But, like, this is one of those things where I want to, like, talk to someone in the military and be like, do they do this? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I'm just curious. Or is this, like, a line that they wouldn't cross ever?
I would not be surprised if in the military there are drills that are not, like, explicitly stated to be drills in order to see how people respond differently when they think it might be real. That's one thing. But all of the experiments that we've seen, like, the vast majority of these, like false scenarios in order to test the people involved in them, the vast majority of them are directed at individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's always like, how does this individual respond when we make him or her believe that the people around them are dying and it's their fault and their parents blame them for everything and the people, the dead bodies curse their names and their dying breath. Like how do they respond to that situation? It's always sort of like individually focused with like one or two exceptions. And I think, whether or not it is effective, it says something kind of messed up about the people who, on a regular basis, are sitting around thinking of ways to mess with the people that work for them.
And they say that it's number one who did it. They're like, this is number one idea, number one's idea, and Spock's like, she does that all the frickin' time, you know?
Yep.
I guess that's some character building for her or something, you know? I don't know, whatever. But it is strange. I mean, I literally just yesterday watched this movie, The Report, which is all about like basically the CIA covering up the ineffectiveness of torturing prisoners, you know, that sort of thing. Yep. And, you know, so this was kind of was like running through my mind, you know, as I'm watching this thing, like, you know, because they're kind of doing the same thing. Also, by the way, if you have a prisoner who like holds out his like shackled hands and is like, let me go, I don't know if I would use the phaser in my hand to, you know, physically gesture no, because it seems like this, you know, Starfleet officer would probably be capable of disarming her, you know? Like they always tell you, like, don't hold a gun next to someone's head because it's within arm's reach, you know? I don't know. Just a little thing, which I'm like, eh. And then he's like, sorry we had to do that to you. Don't worry, your husband's fine. Sorry we had to do that to you. Like, he immediately starts apologizing. But here's the thing. I mean, like, the idea is, like, this is something we had to do, right? So, theoretically, they do this all the freaking time, right?
Yes.
So does word get out, like, sooner or later, this will happen to you?
I assume that there's some sort of like thing like don't tell people that we do this, but like we all know like word's going to get out that like at some point in your Starfleet career they're going to pull some Shyamalan nonsense on you and you're going to have to like keep it together during that process. So like if things seem too perfectly bad, you know, you might be in one of their little head games.
Yeah.
So
if it seems like an episode of Star Trek,
if it seems like an episode of Star Trek or like Twilight Zone or like one of the better night galleries, just hold it together and don't let it fall apart, and you know, you might come out on top.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to send Geordi to his death.
I don't get that reference off the top of my head, but
it's the one where Troy was trying to get into the command thing, and she had to pass that one test.
Yeah. But see, like, she knew, though, failing. Right? She knew.
She knew it was a simulation, but she didn't know that the whole thing was like, oh yeah, you got to kill Geordi. That's the whole test.
Yeah.
Once you kill Geordi, it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Oh, we just saw one of those dot droids. There's one of them out of focus in the background. Next month's episode is going to be all about the dots. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and they teased that with like the comment about a whole new universe.
Mm.
I found interesting.
Yeah, I mean, right now on the version that we're watching, we're seeing the preview for the animated short treks, the Ephraim and Dot episode, where it's tardigrades and robots playing together. I'm 100% down with that idea, by the way.
Yeah.
And it looks cool. And in the animation, it looks like they're doing that sort of like Resistance style animation where it's like, oh, it's CGI, but it kind of looks like it's hand drawn. And like when that shot of the Enterprise came up, I was like, ooh, Star Wars Resistance. You haven't seen it. Don't worry about it. So when that shot of the Enterprise came up, I was like, whoa, you know, that looks great. But like the animation on the other one, the girl who made the stars or whatever it's called, that looks a little Nick Jr.-y to me. I don't know what's going on there. You know what I mean?
No, I thought it looked kind of like higher concept, like we're going weirder with this one.
Okay, well maybe that's what it, I mean, maybe they'll get into it, but like just like the animation of like the girl like running, I'm like, I don't know. That's maybe it's just because, I mean, this is something which I've found. Like anytime I've gone back and like watched for whatever reason, like kids' cartoons today, which are like all CGI, you know, I think I'm like used to watching things like Clone Wars, which are like extremely high caliber in terms of animation, right? So when I see like just a standard thing like Puss in Boots or something like that, I'm like, yikes, you know, we are not at the point where we can do like CGI animation on a weekly basis. And, you know, maybe I need to lower my expectations on that, because I mean, I guess when you think about it, like the animation which was being done in like Transformers or He-Man wasn't exactly stellar. It's just that's an aesthetic which we're used to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of animated stuff, and I frequently find myself around like nieces and nephews and friends' kids, and they're watching their own shows. And every once in a while, I'm blown away by like how much you can get away with by just having like a really good designed character.
Mm-hmm.
Like Octonauts is not a brilliantly animated show, but their characters sort of carry it through because like every character is like the most cute thing ever designed by human hands.
Yeah.
So they can get away with, you know, just like waddling animations and it works. But I got the impression based on that teaser that they're going for two very different approaches to depicting their realities. So
yeah, no, I think
I'm on board.
True. Yeah,
I'm on board.
And I mean, like, you know, and I didn't put the pieces together here, whatever, because I basically forgot about it at the beginning of the season. But Trek Movie pointed out that the girl who made the stars seems to be a telling of the story that Burnham tells in the very first episode of season two. Where
yeah, the like, ash in the sky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I didn't pick up on that, but makes sense now. So that's cool. So I guess that's it. Just to note, this episode was written and directed by two people who had never written for or directed episodes of Star Trek. The writer was Kalinda Vasquez, who has worked on a number of TV shows, including things like Nikita and Once Upon a Time and Prison Break and Fear the Walking Dead and Runaways and all that stuff. And it certainly appears that she is on staff for season 3 of Discovery. And the episode was directed by a guy named Sanji Sanaka, who is a music video director he's been making music videos for like 20 years now for people like Alanis Morissette, mm-hmm. Common, Ashanti, Jennifer Lopez, Lauryn Hill, Tori Amos. So yeah, kind of cool that they're hiring music video people to do these things. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery. The best place to do that is in the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM, and you can send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. Max, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at JMaxHagel and other places I can't think of right now.
Yeah, if you go to at JMaxHagel, you can find Max's visual interpretations of the timelines of Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I'm working on a more detailed analysis so that I can explain it to people, because while I have worked it out, I haven't made a detailed graphic that shows all of it. And I'm probably going to have to do a video in order to explain it to you.
I'm sure you will. So we should do that. You should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can ask all my questions.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing it on YouTube so that I could get you like asking questions.
Yeah, I can do that,
and I could respond to those questions.
Mm-hmm.
That would be helpful.
Okay, that's cool. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm Mumbles3K, and I'm Mumbles3K on Letterboxd as well. And you can also find me on filmdamagepod.com along with you, doing a show called Film Damage. We just released an episode, which is a throwback from 6 years ago, where we did an audio commentary for Charlie's Angels, and we also talk about our secret origins. So if you want to know more about why the two of us talk about Star Trek, go to filmdamagepod.com and check out that CTS Classic number 5, which is a Charlie's Angels commentary. We'd like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Lisa Slack, Tom Puleo, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Tribuzio, and Brian Meloche. Thank you very much for your support. If you would like to become a patron of the network, go to patreon.com/trekfm and sign up. All right.
Copy that.
Well, that's about it for this month. We will be back next month to take a look at two new short treks. Animated Trek. Finally, for the first time ever, animated Star Trek. Can't wait.
Yep. And the teaser said stories from a whole new universe, which makes me think that they're saying that animated Star Trek takes place in a different universe. Is that their way of like sidestepping the canonical like question about the animated series?
No, I think that that is some marketing person's way of explaining that these things are going to be different than what you've seen before.
Or they could be playing some Starfleet-style head games on you.
They could be. I guess we'll find out on December 12th. But I guess until then, they're just going to keep us on the edge of our seat. We use that one all the time, but, you know. What else is there to say, edgewise?